Hi guys, it's Megan.
And it's Rachel.
And you're listening to The Daily Dish. We're recording from Bravo HQ at 30 Rock. Well, I am. Rachel, you're sick.
I'm sick and I'm in Brooklyn, sadly. I just keep getting sick this year. This is like the second time in 2017.
Terrible.
I know. I need to stay indoors, apparently.
But I know it'll make you feel better. Talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Yes!
And Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And, oh my gosh, we have an interview with Kyle Richards.
I mean, if anything's going to give me life, it's going to be that interview with Kyle Richards.
She was amazing and stayed after to talk about other housewives, not even current ones, past ones. And it was
amazing.
It was good. But we'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to talk about the bachelor trip.
Oh, sweet Tom and Katie getting ready to go down that aisle and go into New Orleans mad at each other.
But first, should we hear a word from our sponsor?
Yes, definitely.
Do you want it?
Let me see you shake that.
Yeah. Come and get it.
This episode is brought to you by Drink Hankies from Princesses Long Island.
Oh, R.I.P.
I know. What a great show. Before its time, I think.
So, Bachelor Party, Part 1. The gang is in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, no, let's start from the beginning. I think it's funny that before this group even left for New Orleans for the Bachelor Party, they felt like they needed a send-off party for that party. So Sheena decides to host a get-together at her mom's house, and it's like a pool party with tacos.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is really for Tom Schwartz's fashion choice, which was a salmon-colored muumuu.
I didn't hate it as much as everyone else did.
Interesting.
I mean, I got, if he was wearing that to work or something, but he was going to like a pool party. He clearly bought it at the beach somewhere. I was like, whatever. You're wearing like a pre-pool outfit.
But as he said, it's like the thing you put on when you're just giving up.
Oh, man. That was like the saddest sentence I think I've ever heard. And then you look at him and you're like, yep, that is a man in a muumuu who has given up.
Yeah, and like Katie was hanging out by herself, just like drinking
moping.
Alone.
Ugh.
Yes. And then, you know, Sheena's like, just go over and give her a kiss. Kisses fix everything. Which was just like amazing.
Which is amazing because clearly kisses did not fix everything.
And they don't. Like, what terrible advice. if I'm pissed at someone, don't you dare touch me. Like, I don't
know. I
love
when Katie was like literally like dodging him, like trying to be like, don't touch me. What are you doing? Like, bad advice,
so
Sheena. None
funny.
Of this worked out. Oh, but speaking of Katie and Tom, so they're fighting because of Tom and Ariana. And the saddest moment of the episodes, there were a lot of downs in this episode, but the saddest moment of the episode for me was when when Katie was like, do I need to be blonde? Do I need to be skinnier? Do I need to be named Ariana for you to respect me? I was like, oh,
what do I got to do for you to respect me? I knew you were going to comment on that because like even watching it, I was like, oh. That's sad.
It was just so sad. But also, Katie, it's not Ariana's fault. Like, I get that they're there and they're a symbol of your anger at Tom. But, like, I didn't feel like Ariana did anything to Katie, really.
I think that it's, I mean, we've kind of said this before, but it's like, she didn't want Ariana in her wedding party for a reason. She doesn't like her. And that's fine. Not everyone is everyone's cup of tea. But now it's become an issue because Schwartz just disregarded that and was like, well, we'll still put her in the wedding anyway, and I'll just make her a groomsman. So now she's, like, forced to interact with this person that she already doesn't care for and who's kind of been rude to her and her friends. I don't know. I can kind of see her side on this one.
I think she shouldn't have gone to the bridal shower. Like, that's where I think things went badly. Like, you're not in her bridal party. She didn't want you. Like, why did she go to that? She shouldn't have gone.
Right.
Katie shouldn't have invited her. Because I think that was the impetus of all of this drama.
The other thing that really stuck out to me. Okay, so this is very small, but Jax sees a wet dog and he goes, oh, is that my dog? And it reminded me, because in case fans have forgotten, Stassi now owns his family dog, because when they were together and lived together for that brief amount of time, she bonded with the dog. So when they broke up, she was like, I'm keeping this dog. So when he said that, I was just like, oh my God, I completely forgot. Like, that is the craziest thing to me.
Right. I mean, what would you do if Aaron was like, I'm taking the cat?
Oh, I would die. I mean, I would do a murder-suicide before I let that happen.
You and the cats.
If I can't have them, no one can.
What was I going to talk about? Oh, sorry, this is going back to Tom and Katie, which happens in New Orleans, too. Tom and Ariana bring up to both Tom and Katie, maybe they're fighting, not because of Tom and Ariana and all this Ariana stuff, but that there's other issues there.
Right. Well, and Katie says that at the pool party. She's like, there's more happening than these people even know.
Right.
And, like, a high five's not going to fix it.
Right. Which we got a sneak peek of in the next on.
Right. That whole Vegas trip is coming back to haunt him.
Right. I guess that never got put to bed. Pun intended.
All right. So let's move on to New Orleans.
Yes.
So the group arrives, and Sheena and Shay immediately go off to celebrate their second wedding anniversary.
Oh, my God. Can I just say, boudoir photos, kiss of death.
Yes. Never. For Yolanda and David, and now for Sheena and Shay.
Can I just say, couples?
Who else? Has anyone else done them?
I'm just...
Well, but we can say Kim did it for Croy, and they are still together, and, you know...
But their love is no mere mortals. They're not like, that's not ordinary love.
Right.
They're beyond.
Their love supersedes all.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, boudoir pictures, kiss of death, don't do them.
And I don't know, the whole thing was sad because we're treating this anniversary dinner as a sort of like celebration of triumph. Like, we did it. We're definitely going to make it because the first year was the hardest, but we're over it and we fixed our problems. That's heartbreaking to watch, knowing that this couple goes on to separate.
It was so heartbreaking to watch. That's the word for it. You're just kind of like, ah. I can't imagine being Sheena watching that now. But it also makes me wonder what was really happening, because I can't imagine that everything was all hunky-dory during their first or their second anniversary.
I don't know. I just know that every week I'm waiting for, like...
The moment?
The cracks to start to show. But...
I know.
Didn't happen this episode.
No, it didn't. Can I just comment on everyone's really cute bathing suit, though, at the pool party earlier, and specifically Sheena's? I was loving. She had, like, a lot of side boob, but I really liked it.
Okay, so then the group... They start the bachelorette party. They go down Bourbon Street. They go to the bar.
Oh, can I just talk about a small moment before they go out? So Katie and Tom, Lisa Vanderpump gives Katie and Tom their, like, honeymoon suite or bachelor and bachelorette suite at the hotel. And Katie goes to read the card, and she's like, oh, my God, it's a date card, which is a Bachelor reference, which made me be like, Katie, can we please talk about The Bachelor? If we ever interview her, I'm going to go deep on The Bachelor with her, because I'm so excited that she made a Bachelor reference. It was awesome.
I don't get it, because I don't watch it. So what's a date card?
So, like, all the girls are, like, in a house or a hotel or wherever they are, and Nick... the current bachelor or the bachelor, whoever it is of that season, sends a card and it'll be like, Megan, see, hope you like sand because things are about to get beachy. And then you have to kind of like,
oh, and it's like the announcement of like, we're going on a date.
Yeah. But sometimes it's like, it takes three to tango. And then it'll be like, Megan, Rachel, this is the double date or something. And then me and you would go on a date together, but only one of us make it.
Would get the rose?
No, but then the other one gets left stranded on a beach.
Oh. This show is a lot, just from the sounds of it.
Really, really cutthroat. Anyway, that made me really happy.
So let's fast forward to the end of the episode. Well, not the end, the last location where they're at this bar. It's Pat O'Brien's, I think?
It is definitely Pat O'Brien's. Because I've been there, and I was like, I know what bar you're at. That is Pat O'Brien's.
I think everyone's been there. Like, that's right. On the list of, like, where you're supposed to go when you're in New Orleans.
When she was like, my favorite bar, and I was like, is Paddle Pride your favorite bar in New Orleans, New Orleans native? That's your favorite one? I was kind of surprised.
Okay. Stassi and Jax have the most unpredicted, for me, conversation. I just did not see that confrontation between them happening. Not even confrontation, more like this resolution.
I had no idea that Jax had been causing problems in her relationship. Like, that was a big reveal to me.
She had mentioned it on a couple reunions ago that, like, the reason her boyfriend wouldn't be around is because he didn't want to be around Jax.
Oh.
But I don't know. It was just, it was kind of like, this was something that I thought they were past, but it's clear that, like, she's not past it because she never got the apology she wanted. And it was kind of, like, amazing as any girlfriend who's ever been cheated on, been wronged. It was like a moment of vindication for all of us where we're like, yes, we all deserve this apology, Jax.
On behalf of all wronged women. Thank you.
Exactly.
But I totally got that right away that Brittany got upset. I was like, I would be really upset too.
Oh, totally.
Because they had that, like, intense eye contact of, like, my soul is touching your soul right now, and I understand. Right. And, like, witnessing my boyfriend do that with someone else would flip me out. And she has every right to be like,
and also,
you can't apologize to me ever. Why are you able to, you know?
Totally.
But then again, poor it took Brittany. 7 years for him to apologize to Stassi, so.
Yes.
Or 5 years or something. So it might be a little while, Brittany.
I hope this doesn't sour Brittany and Stassi's relationship, because I love that they're friends.
I know. I don't think it would. Also, Brittany, I loved her jumpsuit thing that night. Everyone looked cute.
And then Sandoval ruined everything.
I disagree.
He had to go up to Katie at her bachelorette party and talk about, like, maybe you guys should be going to therapy. No one should be fighting this much.
Okay, but if it's, like, 2 weeks to the wedding or something like that, like,
oh, he's not wrong.
Right, right. Like, at what point do you say, like, at what point do you tell your friend, like, but really, do you want to marry this girl? Or, like, but really, do you guys think this is a good decision? Like, you guys, I don't know. Like, and also, they're all wasted. I don't think that he, like, went into that night being like, I'm going to talk to Katie about this. But I think that, like, she was probably, she looked like she was not having a good time, had a little bit of a sourpuss on her face. He probably went over to talk to her, and then that happened. I don't know, though. I can't speak for Tom Sandoval. Maybe it was all planned.
All I know is I can't wait for next week's episode. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm sad to even bring this up, Rachel, because you weren't here for
it. I am super sad.
But I got to talk to Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz, and they were so great and just revealed a lot about what's to come. But also, Tom Schwartz started crying.
What?
I'm not going to tell you why, though. You guys are going to have to wait.
He cried?
Yes. I couldn't even look at him because he was so beautiful and crying.
He's so pretty.
But yeah, I can't reveal all right? That just wouldn't be right. You have to come back and listen to it. And yeah, then we can talk about the rest of that bachelor party.
Yes.
So moving on to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Second part of their trip to Mexico. This is a continuation. Last time we saw Lisa Rinna arriving after Kyle had found out that she was supposedly saying all this stuff about Kyle and Kim. So Kyle's pissed, but doesn't want to ruin a good trip. So she says she's giving, like, the Beverly Hills fake, hi, how are you? Even though deep down she's like, I can't stand to look at you.
Right.
And pretty much they go right into Mauricio's party, the launch party of the agency's new office in Punta Mita.
Before we get into, like, the conversation that happened, I just quickly want to give a shout out to Mauricio and Ken's dancing throughout the night. Like, literally at one point, Kyle's like, where's Lisa Rinna or something? And he's like, and Mauricio's like, I don't know, moving his shoulders and, like, having a great time. And I was like, oh.
He was having Mauricio the best time of anyone ever.
Yeah, Mauricio just wants to dance. But yeah, so then that conversation happens between Kyle and Kim, thanks to Erica Girardi.
Who was really great about it. Like, she wasn't trying to start anything. She was simply saying, like, you guys are having a conversation and I have intel and I don't want to pretend, I don't want to play dumb, but I also, like, this isn't my conversation to have. You need to go talk to Kyle.
Right.
And immediately Lisa Rinna is like, what did I do? What? Like, she has no idea.
She has no idea. And Kyle's like, well, basically, I've heard that Eden Sassoon has told Lisa Vanderpump, has told, I've heard several things that basically Kim is close to death. I'm an enabler. And we're all just terrible people, essentially. Oh, and then Lisa Rinna is like, I don't think I said that. I refuse to believe that I said that. I remember saying that. That's really heavy. I've tried to be really selective with my words. Lisa Vanderpump was like, careful with your words. You were the one that said to Kim, well, let's talk about your arrest. Like, you call that being careful with your words? And just kind of like keep, and Lisa Rinna just gets kind of pushed further and further into this corner of like, you've said terrible things. You're not owning up to it. But she's honestly like, I don't remember you guys. And I think it's Eden Sassoon's fault. And it basically turns into Lisa Rinna says, I don't remember. Eden Sassoon is throwing me under the bus.
But it was like, I don't know. Lisa Rinna was not giving a satisfactory answer. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of this wishy-washy, like, I don't remember. But if I did say it, I didn't mean it maliciously. And what I wanted the women to say to her is, okay, well, do you think it? Like, right now, in this moment, do you think Kyle's an enabler? Right. Because that will prove if you said it or not.
And I was going to say, when she talks to Harry Hamlin on the phone later, which, by the way, I wish I could always call Harry Hamlin for advice because he was so calming and lovely, he mentioned Kyle's enabling. So to me...
Right.
Not only that, but the footage that Bravo so... Yeah, we saw the flashback. Like...
We as an audience know she said it.
Right.
And it's just... I don't know. It's kind of... How do you not remember that? But I honestly don't think she did in that moment.
No, I don't think she did either. But I think that she was wishy-washy because she has maybe said it to Harry. She has maybe thought it before, but never thought she had said it out loud in front of cameras. So I think that maybe... It's something she has thought before, but was like, there's no way I said that out loud. There's no way.
And that's the test. If you were to say, I never even thought those things, then that puts it to bed. But she wasn't saying that.
I mean, and it's all going to come out. Like, I cannot wait to read all their blogs this week because the footage is there. It's there.
Well... The blogs are starting to come in, and they are good. And actually, the blogs are something that we talk about with Kyle. Just for our audience, Rachel and I are both digital producers at Bravo, and that means we work on different shows. So Beverly Hills is one of my shows. That means that I'm constantly emailing with the ladies, kind of taking care of everything on the digital side for Beverly Hills, all those great moments you see at bravotv.com. And so they send their blogs to me, sometimes on time, sometimes not, but you know. Okay, so I will say, though, with everything that happened in that conversation, Kyle was not super upset.
No.
She was kind of like believing her for the most part and saying, if you didn't say it, you need to stick up for me from now on and not let her get away with saying that stuff. But my point is, all in all, Kyle was not like furious, flipping tables or anything like that. So when Lisa Rinna ran outside and
cried,
sobbing basically, I was like, well, this reaction isn't really measuring to what just happened.
I think it was I think that maybe she realized she said something that was really hurtful. She was being confronted with it. She was kind of surrounded by all these women in this corner. I could see being overwhelmed by that. And I feel like she never would want to hurt Kyle. I feel like her and Kyle get on well. So I feel like she is probably upset because she's like, I really messed up. This is terrible. Why would I say that? I think she just got really overwhelmed in the moment. And who knows? Tequila and time differences and traveling.
I just feel bad that, like, her major ally in all of this was pukey Eileen, who really just couldn't be bothered because she was so sick.
I know. She was, like, really trying hard to be like, you've never said that to me, though, but really, I have to go. Like,
right.
I know, but, like, I can't be here anymore.
Like, poor
thing. It's like, oh, Eileen, we've all been there. I think we should just round out the episode, though, with Lisa Rinna on that table.
Yes. Oh, my God. And that is the perfect thing to talk about.
Yes.
Because Erica Jane's newest music video just came out. Expensive.
XXX.
XXX. It's actually just
it's two X's. X's. Yeah,
which I'm
yeah.
kind of like, yeah, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what statement is she making? Like,
yeah,
more than one
know.
X, but not three X's.
Kisses? XX?
It's interesting.
Female?
Female. Oh, does XX?
Oh,
Grace, our producer, says it's for female.
I'm sure that's what it is. I can think
Grace
of no.
Grace is really smart.
Stronger feminist than Erica Jane.
Of course. Oh, but it is funny because Out Magazine covered that her video had launched and they wrote, this is the gayest thing you'll watch all day. And they're kind of right.
Oh, I love Erica Jane. Yeah, so Lisa Rinna's on that table. And to show how, like, kind of okay with everything Kyle is, she even says, well, that just forgave everything for you getting
right.
on the table and dancing. So I really think that Kyle wasn't as upset as everyone wanted her to be, maybe?
Well, she kind of explains it better in her own words, so
mm-hmm.
let's let her do just that.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. It's Megan.
And it's Rachel.
And we're here with Kyle Richards.
Yes, and her beautiful hair.
Yes.
Hello there.
So excited to have you.
Thank you.
So I know that Kyle by Eileen 2 is alive and well in New York.
Yes.
How is it going?
It's doing really well. I'm so excited. I was really surprised because my partner said, you know, the Upper East Side could actually use, you know, our store over there. And it's our same customer that's in Southampton, and we're there permanently now. Mm-hmm. So I thought, God, it seems like there'd be so many stores there. But apparently they had a lack of stores, so we're doing really well over there. So I'm really happy. People are loving it.
Aside from the cold weather gear that New Yorkers need, what do you feel like the style-wise is different? The things that when you're buying for the LA store versus New York?
It's a very different feeling. New York and LA just has a very different vibe. You know, people, you know, we carry some of the same things, but, you know, we have to obviously have warmer clothes here. I feel like we have a lot more color in, you know, Los Angeles. And, you know, Southampton, we have more of a beachy vibe. Like,
right.
everything has a different feel and flavor to it, but sort of in sync.
Yeah.
I love New York and the clothing and the style. Like, I get so excited because we don't always have a winter in LA.
Right.
So we get so excited. That's like, you know, one little breeze and we're like, ooh, break out the boots and a scarf. We're so desperate.
We wanted to talk about your new show. Will you be guest starring on it? How is it going?
It's going really well. It's really exciting because, you know, obviously you go through all of this to make a pilot and people are like, it's so exciting. And I think a lot of people thought it was already a show. I'm like, yeah, but they didn't realize you could do this pilot, all this work, film it, and then it's done. But it got picked up. So,
yay! Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah, so we'll be making 12 episodes. We've already shot the pilot. Alicia Silverstone is playing the character of my mother, which I have to clarify, she's not playing my mom in the show.
Right.
She's playing my mother's character to a 10-year-old Kyle.
Right.
I am only behind the camera, and it's a lot of fun. I just love it so much.
How active are you? Are you, like, on the set?
Yeah, I was on the set every day.
Oh, wow.
A couple times I had to miss 2 days of shooting when I was filming The Housewives in Punta Mita. But other than that, I didn't miss anything. You know, I was involved with everything from choosing, you know, the director, the writer, wardrobe, you know, the cars they would drive, the location, hair, makeup, everything.
That's wow. so fun.
It was really interesting.
Is it something you would want to keep doing or?
100%. You know, I've been in television since I'm 3 or 4 years old. And it's sort of been, you know, I never knew I'd end up in reality television. And it's just kind of this weird, like, evolved situation. Now all of a sudden I'm behind the camera and I really, really love it. You know, I'm really particular and, you know, I didn't realize I was going to be so, like, neurotic about every little thing because it was really important to me in, you know, doing American Woman that it was authentic and that you really felt like you were in the 70s, which mm-hmm. is why, you know, I didn't want it to be flashing back to the 70s. I wanted you to be really in that moment. And I didn't want it to look like a costume party or that 70s show, like a sitcom. So you have to be really careful because you walk a tight, you know, rope there with between looking costumey and authentic
right.
to the 70s. So, you know, I had to be on top of every little detail, and I would just go crazy over, you know. But, you know, I'm with an amazing team with, honestly, probably the best in television. John Wells Productions, he's the one who does ER, West Wing, Shameless.
Wow.
I mean, he directed August of Osage County. I mean, right. This is like, I have the best mentors I could ever imagine in television.
That's so crazy.
I am so excited to watch this now.
Yeah.
I mean, I always was, but, like, your description of it is just so fascinating.
Well, I was like, the 70s is the best time. I mean, with the music and the fashion, and if we were going to be really authentic, I knew it would be an amazing show. And talking to people, you know, after the project, you know, got the green light, they're like, there's nothing like this on television. I'm like, I know. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
So... now there is.
tell people when they can watch it. When
I think we're looking at a June 2017 to December. That window right now, because right now we're in the writer's room, and you know, coming up with the stories. It's inspired by, not based on, which I had to learn the difference. Mm-hmm. It is not. You know, some stories are things that actually really happen, and others are written by John Rigi, who wrote for In the Comeback and 30 Rock.
Oh.
And yeah, so he's very talented. And so it's just, you know, merging the two, you know, the reality and, you know, fiction, and making just amazing characters and interesting stories that are true to that time. Because it's such a different time.
Right.
Totally.
Since it was it's like your perspective. Have your sisters weighed in at all? Or is this sort of a thing you're like, it's mine, back off. Like, this is my
they
project.
They haven't been involved at all, you know. I've always liked to write. And in my spare time, but not my blog.
Yeah. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. I like to write, but I like to write, like, you know, creative stuff. So a lot of time, I very seldom have alone time, having four kids. So when I am alone, it's when I'm driving after I've taken the kids to school. And in those times, I would write stories in my head or go back to when I was growing up and thinking, oh, that would be an interesting story, and we'd open it like this. And I was sharing it with someone, you know, who's actually a fan of the show that had asked to meet me, and that's how it came about. They're like, oh my God, I love the stories you're saying, this and that. And then they literally called me 20 minutes later and said, John Wells wants to make this TV show. And I didn't know if I was going to make a movie or a book or what I was going to do, so I was just telling the stories. So, yeah, it's been very interesting. What was the question?
Oh, no.
So it came about like that. And then they first said they wanted to make it a TV show. I was like, well, I don't know about that. Maybe, yes, I don't know. But, you know, it's just been my own project. You know, I don't think my sisters really understood what it was in the beginning. I was, you know, explaining to them, it's not a reality show. It is a scripted show inspired by, you know. You know, it's a fun show. You know, the announcement first said a dark comedy, which kind of implied it could be, I don't know, sketchy or something.
Right.
But, I mean, there's moments, obviously, that are not, you know, I did not have a traditional upbringing. So that's very clear in the show. Obviously, that's why they wanted to make it a TV show. But, you know, it's just going to be a fun show. And I'm not here to, like, torture anybody.
Right. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch gears to your other show. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, yes.
All right. Last week, it ended with Lisa Vanderpump telling you, Eden's not just coming up with this stuff on her own. She's been hearing a lot of things from Lisa Rinna. Lisa Rinna's been saying some crazy things about Kim.
Yeah.
And we see your face when Lisa Rinna walks into the home in Mexico, and you're just like... It's a face we all of us women know well.
I have my glasses on, and normally if someone's coming in my home, they're my guest, you know, I would greet them. I just wasn't feeling it, so I really was in the pool, and I don't love running around my face, soon as I made very clear. So I was like, no, sorry, I'm in the pool, and yeah, welcome. And I just kind of like had a little sip of my margarita, went about my business.
What's going through your head at this moment? With Lisa Rinna.
You know, once Lisa Vanderpump told me what Eden had said to her about Lisa Rinna, I was really struggling because I wanted to give Lisa Rinna the benefit of the doubt, but I thought, well, this makes sense why Eden's, you know, been, like, I mean, so dramatic about it, you know, and, you know, invasive. So kind of putting two and two together and thinking, well, this is odd, you know. Obviously, she's going to be showing up here tomorrow, and I like her, you know. This is a big... mess up her talking like this, you know, she's obviously screwed up and she's gonna know it, but I feel weird having her as my guest, and you know, so I was in a weird position, and yet for me to just pretend I never knew that was impossible.
Right. How do you hide that?
How do you hide that? Exactly. So it was just, it was, you know, very uncomfortable.
Had you seen the footage of Lisa having that conversation?
No.
No, sorry.
I didn't see any of that footage until the show aired.
Oh, wow.
Of the conversation Lisa and Rinna had with Eden in the store. And my first thought was, oh, my God, what is my sister going to think when she sees this? And what are her children going to think?
Oh, God.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, you say something like that, and you're on this TV show, and, you know, millions of people are watching it, and that just gets people talking, and then, you know, it's just broken telephone. Next thing you know, people are like, oh, do you hear? Kim Richards is a mess. And, like, she's worked really hard to get to where she's at. So it was very upsetting.
Well, so Kathy has been a bit vocal on Twitter. She's just said a couple of things where she's, like, not happy with what she's been seeing Lisa Rinna saying. What is Kim?
Or Eden. Yeah, both.
Well, right. What has Kim's reaction been?
Kim is very upset with both of them. She thinks it's extremely irresponsible. She's always said, Lisa Rinna always talks about me. Why does she always talk about me? She's always come out after me, you know. And then with Eden, she's like, my God, as a sober woman, she knows you're not supposed to have these judgments and say these things and put these, you know, things out there. I don't even know exactly. She said it in last week's episode. Mm-hmm. But so she's very, very, very upset, and which, you know, understandably so.
Of course. Did seeing Eden and Lisa's conversation make more sense where Eden was coming from?
Yes, but I still believe that Eden, you know, as she's, you know, a woman in her 40s, she's an adult, she didn't have to go and, you know, come fly at me with all that. You know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt and make your own, you know, assessment when you, you know, finally get to know us. Then you can have an opinion. But I think that, you know, that was her mistake. I mean, I hear things about people all the time. I don't go, you know, jump on it and, you know, take the ball and run with it.
Yeah,
right. So it would have been better if she had just sort of waited to get to know us.
Right.
Okay, Portia wisely asked once in your closet, who's better, Lisa Rinna or Vanderpump?
I almost died when she said that. It was so funny, and you could hear the cameraman laugh because it's just hilarious. There's so little these things flat in their mouth, and I was like, ah, anyway, I was hoping they weren't going to use it. Of course they used it. yeah, so they both teased her endlessly about that. Lisa Vanderpump was like, oh, you, how did you say that, Porsche? And then Lisa Rinna was like, give me five, Porsche.
So, who do you trust more?
Oh, my God, who do I trust more? Well, obviously, Lisa Vanderpump went in a very good place, and she wouldn't, you know, talk like that about my sister, Kim. And, you know, it's hard, you know, with Lisa Rinna. I don't like the things she said. I really don't. And she has told me, I'm not going to talk like that about your sister again, and I apologize, and it was wrong. And I'm the kind of person, you say to me, I believe you. Mm-hmm. And then I forgive and I move on. And then it happens again, and you're like, oh my gosh. But it's hard because I actually like Lisa Rinna. Like, so, like, ugh, if I didn't like her, it'd be very easy. You know, done, goodbye, walk away. But I need her to stop doing those things because, you know, don't make me have to choose between my sister and you, because obviously we know what that choice is going
to
be.
Right. There's one answer to that question.
There's one answer to that question, right, exactly.
Right. I kind of, again, you and Lisa have had ups and downs, you know, and I have loved watching this season, Lisa just kind of being, and you being kind of just ride or die for each other. Like, when you're not there, Lisa will be like, I'm shutting this down, I'm not talking about this, you're completely wrong. Did you know that that was going on? What is it like watching that?
Well, you know, obviously we're like the last men standing of 7 years, it feels like. We've been in the show for 7 years together. And I think there's been times where it's been difficult to have a friendship on the show, as you can see. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of the beast. And we've finally learned, like, there was times I'm like, why would you say that on camera to try to put doubt in people's mind about me? And then, so then I would retaliate, and then she would retaliate. It was like this vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. We're like, what is happening here? You know, I know you're a better person than that. I know I am. You know, we've got to, like, stick together. She's always said that. I've always said that. So we've worked through our things, and, you know, now I've said to her, if you're ever upset, I just want you to come to me and say, I don't like this, or this bothered me. I can't have it, you know, the passive-aggressive on-camera situation. I love you too much for that. And we've kind of, like, just, you know, said, we're never going to let that happen again. And basically when something comes up, I'm like, that's not going to happen again. That doesn't mean she doesn't tease me and tease her. She's like, I'm not talking to you because of that comment you made. And I said, Lisa will, like, say something, oh, it's a joke. I'm like, but that, I would say that to your face. You do say, oh, you know, you make a little jab, and then you say, oh, I'm joking, darling. But I'm like, I don't say anything in my interviews that I wouldn't, you know, teaser about to her face. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know, the show's like that. We can't just be, like, all sipping tea and saying, oh, how lovely everyone looks 24/7. Otherwise, who wants to watch that?
Well, that's...
we're telling the truth.
Right.
That's why I feel it must be easier on your relationship with Kim to maybe not both be on the show at the same time. Like, that has to kind of add that layer to things.
Well, I think that you see a very different personality in me when the stuff's going on with my sister. It was really hard for me to think about going forward doing the show without Kim. You know, last year she didn't, you know, she was in rehab and taking care of herself, so the timing was, you know, not right for her to do the show. But I like having Kim on the show. And, you know, if you ask my kids who their favorite housewife is, they say Kim.
Aww.
Everything that she says in their interviews, they die laughing. Like, Kim is, like, funny. She doesn't even know she's funny.
Right.
She says the funny, like, she does, when she said, Lisa, Rinna, you know, why don't you eat a piece of bread and calm down? She does not know that's going to be funny. Like, everybody says it to us, like, memes all the time. She's just like, you know, I'm not wearing panties. Like, she just is so funny without knowing she's funny, and she's just so kooky. So my kids just love watching the show, and I think the audience really does too. So,
yeah.
But when there's that heaviness and the issues, I am a completely different person. And a lot of people said to me, oh, you're so, you know, you're like, you don't feel as heavy, you know, it seems like you're like laughing more and whatever, because stuff's fine with her too. So it's not like, you know, definitely felt it in the past.
Right.
I mean,
right,
I cried so much on the show. It's so embarrassing. And I would say I'm not going to cry no matter what. And there's times I'd start to cry and I'd leave the room because I didn't want the cameras to see me. And I still would end up, people say, oh my gosh, she's crying again. I was so mortified.
But see, I felt like, I mean, of course you were crying.
Right. I know, but like, you know, when you're on a show and people are, you know, watching, you know, they're making fun of me. My sister Kathy called me dying laughing. She's like, I just saw a website that calls you Kryle. And I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know what to do. I'm just so emotional, and I'm a very emotional person.
Right.
But this season, I couldn't stop laughing when I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So there was times where we were in Hong Kong, and Dorit and Erica got into an argument, and Lisa Vanderpump really started to laugh. We started to laugh, and I was like, oh my God. Because I think we've been through so much on the show and had such intense drama that what they were fighting about didn't seem like a big deal to me. And to see them getting so worked up, I don't know what happened. So I start to laugh. So I turn my back, and then Lisa Vanderpump starts to laugh. And next thing you know, we're like...
And it's like church giggles. Or you just like...
Church giggles. Yeah, same thing on the plane flying to Hong Kong. We were told by the flight attendant to please be quiet because we're laughing too much.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Dory came to sit with us to talk to us on the plane. And we all could not stop laughing. I mean, crying, laughing. And next thing you know, Dory flings her head back to laugh and falls off the side of the seat and landed in the aisle with her wine glass still in her
hand. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, so we do have fun too.
It sounds like it.
Yes.
So then you're a fan of Dorit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Dorit. I find her to be very honest. You know, maybe people, you know, don't like what she's saying, but she's honest. And if someone's honest, I can live with that all day long. Mm. You know, it's like people say to me, how do you do the show so long? And, you know, how do you handle the criticism? If I'm being true to myself, even if the audience doesn't like it, I can live with myself. Mm-hmm. It's the couple of times over these 7 years that I don't feel I was true to myself that I really regretted. Like Game Night season 2 or, you know, a couple of times I don't need to remind everyone about.
No,
really, I'm good. No, but like, I can live with myself no matter what. Like people saying, you know, how'd you make that comment about Lisa Vanderpump making jabs? Because guess what? It's the truth. And I would say it to her face. So, I, you know, people give me heat for that. And I don't care. I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. And Dorit's honest. And I like that about her. You know, some people come into the show and they're full of it. You can tell right away. In their interviews, they're talking. You're like, you are so full of it. I can't even deal with you. That I can't tolerate in my personal life and on the show.
So which category does Eden fall into?
Eden, like I said, I think she's a nice person. I think she comes from a good place. I think she made bad choices. And, you know, you're on a TV show and she's going to be highly criticized. And I actually feel very bad the way people are being mean to her on Twitter. I don't like it at all. People don't realize how much it hurts and, you know, how it can affect someone. And it's so, I mean, there's times I'm like, I'm going to call her. You know, because we're not really, like, talking. Like, we're not talking. I mean, you have to remember this was shot a while ago. And,
right.
I didn't know the thing she was saying.
Right.
But, and then I go to, like, call her, and then I see a tweet, like, about the women on the show. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to wait on that.
Yeah.
So, but I think that she is coming from a good place. You know, it's hard to navigate, you know, being on a show like this. And I think she probably wishes she hadn't said and done the things she did. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about your trip to Hong Kong. Can you tease any? We saw this, like, big tease at the end of last night's episode where Erica had blonde hair and you don't know what I deal with every night. Can you tease anything that's coming up?
Well, that was, oh my gosh. You know, us in boats do not do well. Like, we would get on the boat. I'm like, every time we get on a boat, I feel like we're lost at sea. There's going to be an argument. My choice is either just sit here and deal with it or jump overboard. Yeah, so that was, a very emotional night. And Erica and Dorit really, really got into it that night. Because there's been a lot of tension and, like, lack of trust since the whole... I hate the word panties more than anything. Panty gate is what they called it. So... ever since that happened, there was this underlying.
Yeah, even was that always there? You could feel it?
Yeah, for sure. So it's sort of like all came to, they're very different. Mm-hmm. You know, Dorit wears her heart on her sleeve and says whatever, and just everything flies out of her mouth, and Erica's very reserved. So you have two very different personality types, and I like both. So I was, I always dread when this happens, because when you're on a TV show like this, people expect you to side with one. Mm. The cast, meaning the two that are in the argument, and a lot of times the audience too, they also want you to. Well, guess what? I like them both. So Lisa Vanderpump and I, we were both sitting there, watching all this, arguing. Here we've been on the show for so long, and we were like, and then we just sat back and watched them arguing. It was so intense. And later I looked at Lisa, I'm like, we're just sitting here like watching, like, what is going on? It's so crazy. But, it was a very dramatic night, and then a lot of tears all night long. And I think Dorit was up all night long that night. Wow. So, it was her first trip with the women, right? Was it? Or no?
Oh, I guess.
Punta Mita would be, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but this was out the husbands.
Yeah.
That's never good. Yeah, exactly.
They keep you ladies sane.
Lisa and I, Vanderpump and I, were fighting hard to bring our husbands. And we just got shut down. They're like, no, it's an all-girls trip. Like, it would be a little weird if we only brought Ken and Mauricio. Yeah. Harry couldn't go, and Tom couldn't go. So we're like, okay, fine.
I loved when they went around on those in Paris.
The segways,
Ken and Mauricio. Yeah. That was really cute. We've gone a lot of fun places on the show. Yeah. Over the 7 years, I was talking with someone the other day about that. Because, I used to have such a fear of flying. I missed out on so many amazing, opportunities and, exciting things going on. I remember my niece Paris was going to do Oprah Winfrey's show, and she asked me to go with her. I couldn't get on the plane. Mm. And I was like, I cannot believe I didn't go to meet Oprah. So, on the show, after going through hypnotherapy and having to travel more because of the show, we've gotten to so many, amazing places. And it's
That's
all
awesome.
Documented.
Yeah.
Paris and Dubai.
Yes.
And Hong Kong and Mexico. And very exciting.
Yes.
So, before we started recording, you were complaining about writing your blog this week.
Apologizing.
Which is funny, because housewives sometimes will come and like, hey, did you get my blog? What'd you think? Did you read it?
Oh, they're like eager about
it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so... Well, this sounds maybe not good to say, but after being on the show for 7 years, I forget to watch.
Yeah.
We get the link to watch the episode. Now I have to say link, because we used to get a DVD in the mail. Back in the olden days, 7 years ago. And now we get a link on the Thursday before the show airs on Tuesday. And a lot of times, if I miss the email, I won't remember till the day the show's airing. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen the show.
Yeah.
I mean, so crazy. And then I'm like, I don't know who said what about me, who's done what to me. And then it's hard to write the blog, because you have to sit with the show, watch it, stop, pause it, write your thoughts on each little section. But if I just watch it and randomly write something, I'm like, oh, I forgot to mention so-and-so. Or
right.
I forgot to write about Erica, her acting on Eileen's show. Or, when you have 4 kids and 5 dogs.
Right.
Sitting down, like Lisa, like, oh, I love to write my blog. I'm like, yeah, because you sit there sipping your tea.
Yeah.
You have kids to get off to school. It's like a relaxing time for you. I don't find it relaxing at all.
That's so funny.
And you're always going to piss somebody off,
right?
Too,
so. Oh, yeah.
It's like always 50% of the reunion drama is like based around the blog.
By the way, I haven't read one person's blog this season.
Good for you.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I think last year I had to say, I better look at the blog so I know what's coming at me.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't read the blogs. Yeah, I don't read the blogs. So my sister Kim, I said to her because she's upset, I said, well, why don't you blog? And you can, you know, talk about... You know, she's like, oh, I'm too upset to blog. And I said, well, you could live tweet, which she's never done. She goes, what does that mean? How do you do that? I'm like, tweet while the show's on. She, like, didn't know what I meant by that. So next thing I know, I look at Twitter. My sister's, like, you know, going off Serena and Eden. And then she writes to me, oh, that's actually kind of fun. I was like, oh, great. So I'm sure Eden and Lisa Rinna didn't think it was fun or funny. But Kim was like, it was like therapy for her.
That's so funny.
Great to get your thoughts out there.
Yeah, and then my sister Kathy chiming in, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you mentioned my sister Kathy and Twitter. Amy Phillips, who, you know, famous for imitating all the housewives, I did her podcast, and she said to me, your sister Kathy's very interesting. She uses Twitter like a voicemail, like an answering machine. Kyle, are you there? Which she does. My sister Kathy will be like, Kyle, pick up your phone. You know, anyone know where Kyle is? Yeah. Or does anyone know where Kyle is? Can you tell her to call me? She says this, I'm not kidding. And then the other day she tweeted a phone number. She goes, I thought it's only the person I'm tweeting to that can see it.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And people are sending me direct messages, like, you know, people that follow me on Twitter. You may want to tell your sister she's just posting people's phone numbers on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
She's just clueless like that.
That's so funny.
She just learned to text last year.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a miracle. I know. It's totally a miracle.
Wow. We love her. We love Kim. Yes. We love you. We love your blog, so keep sending them in.
Thank you. Thank you. I know, and I was going to write it yesterday, but it didn't happen.
Oh, my God. Pass. You're in New York. Yeah. It's fine. Enjoy yourself.
I have to do it. I have to do it. I promise. The fans that watch the show really want you to write the blog.
Yeah. I see them go after you guys sometimes on Twitter, like, where's your blog?
Yeah. Oh, but the funny thing is that if you are, you know, in the center of the drama, they think, you know, I mean, maybe some housewives do this. They think there's a reason why I'm not. Like, I'm waiting to see what people say, and then I'm going to write my book. Yeah, they don't get that. I just don't have the time, and I'm, like, overwhelmed. So, yeah, I'm like, no, I swear it's not because of that.
Right.
Mm. Although that's a really good idea.
So, you know, Kyle, as you could hear, was a great interview, but she's far from being our only Bravo celebrity that's done an interview with us. You can check out the rest of our Bravo Leb interviews at SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes. So subscribe now so you never miss an episode.
Yeah, and we'll put the link to all of our amazing interviews in the description.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me.